Come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will restore us, that we may live in his presence. Let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge him. As surely as the sun rises, he will appear. He will come to us like the winter rains and like the spring rains that water the earth.
Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word, Father. For your word is true.
Rhonda, that same scripture is what I was reading in Hosea. And this is the third day. You know, we've had 1,000 years since Yeshua died and resurrected. And then there was another 2,000 years. And now we are in the third day. And the Lord was speaking to me this week while I was studying and praying, saying it's time for revival. It's time to wake up. It's time to let the fresh wind of my spirit blow and stir within you. Because this is the third day and I'm raising you up.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord. That's okay.
When Jay was speaking about reviving America and about just breathing on us, I watch way too much television, and I'm going to preface that in advance, because what I saw was a group of men standing among these enders. They were out in the middle of the woods trying to start a fire, and how you start a fire when there's nothing is you find a spark, you get the spark from God, but in the middle, you go right down in the, and you breathe on it, and you breathe it, and it bursts from within. And what God showed me is, do you know where the dead center of the United States, that's what I was looking up. Do you know where the dead center of the United States is? It's right here. The dead center town is actually Lebanon, Kansas. And God said, that's where I'm going to start. I'm going to start and burn the fire out. Just like you start a fire, I'm going to start that flame right in the dead center of the United States, and it's going to burn out everywhere. And that's what God showed me.
Hallelujah. God, as we were worshiping, it had nothing to do with revive me. It had to do with the Feast of Tabernacles. God was showing me the throne room of heaven. And he was showing me that angels are here in our midst and that they are worshiping with us. And he showed me that his throne is high and lifted up. His name is glorious. And that we are a part of that angelic host that is bowing and praising and saying, your name, your deeds, your words are glorious. Your name is high. And we have the privilege and the honor of being with all these supernatural beings with you. And he was showing me the joy of being in that throne room.
I was seeing, during worship, I was seeing the Lord standing on a huge mountain, and he was also almost like the Jesus of Rio de Janeiro. They have the huge statue up above, and I saw flaming arrows being shot at Jesus as he was standing there, and they just covered him, the attacks just covered him, and he just smiled and brushed them all away and said, you know, these things are of this world, and you're not part of my world. And then he said that there's a great fire, and much of America has dipped its hands in the fire, wanted to taste the fire just a little bit and feel the fire just a little bit. But he said, you either have to be part of my fire or you'll be burned out. You'll totally be burned out and burned away as dross. There'll be nothing left. So during these coming times, if you're not part of his fire, you'll be burned up.
One of the things that the Lord was revealing to me during this process is, as Candy was sharing, that God was breathing on the embers to cause it to burst. And God said that unless we're willing to be the fuel, unless we're willing to fall into the embers so that His fire can burst forth in us, that it's not going to happen. So God's calling us in this day, in this time, to be that fuel, to totally yield, to give ourselves unto the burning, to the very breath and the burning and the ember of God as He breathes fire into the revival within the body of Christ in this day.
Why don't you all be seated, and I think what we'll do, let's just continue this. Let's continue what we're hearing from the Lord. Thank you guys so much. Hey, Lori, could I borrow that stool? Is that all right?
Sure.
I'll bring it back. It'll be a while, but I'll bring it back. I'm just going to pray. Father, thank you, God, for you, for your presence. Because that's really, truly what we desire every time we gather is your presence, for you to dwell with us, Emmanuel. So God, the things that I'm sensing in my heart at this moment, I just ask that you would bring them forth, God, and that you would speak to all of us at this moment and reveal your heart to us right now, God. That we would have ears to hear. That we'd have a heart that understands and receives what we're hearing from you. And that we have discernment to know when it's you and when it's not. So guide us and lead us, Father, for the next few minutes that we have together, as we have assembled before you and with you. Amen. Last week, I felt led to just talk a little bit about faith and the trials of faith, and I had every intention to kind of continue that today, but during worship, I don't know. I don't know that I can really explain it, but I felt like that maybe we would have some kind of a conversation here this morning. Not with just me talking the whole time, or questions and things that you have. And I think it's interesting because we're a very small number today, and the number that we have, this is a good thing to do, even in the natural. I I'm just, if it's all right, if you guys are all right, I'm just going to share some things and just, because honestly, I could preach and teach, but I feel like we need to, whatever, sometimes I call it investigate. You kind of start heading in a direction with the Lord to see where he's going to actually lead you. You know what I mean? Does anybody know what I mean by that? You know, part of, and I think it's a pretty big part of the calling that God has. You know, every congregation, every church, I believe, has a specific calling. I think one of the mistakes that we've made is we try to cookie cutter churches. We try to reproduce everything, and you know, we feel like we have to have everything everybody else kind of has with all the ministries and all of that. And I used to believe that because that's what I was taught. But I haven't believed that for some time now. I believe that there are certain congregations and certain people that God uses for particular things. And it's interesting, really, if you look at different congregations, they all have their strengths and they all have their weaknesses. And I think that's a beauty of unity too, when in a city or a region, when we start coming together, that where we're weak, we can really join in other congregations' strength and vice versa and become a bit better picture. Instead of, you know, sometimes you take your resources or your energy or your time and you feel like you have to do everything kind of a thing as far as a congregation. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? And so I believe that part of ours, and I do believe it's a big part of the calling, and this has kind of morphed over time, is really to be a watchman in our city. And I also believe that that's tied in to be a watchman to our state and a watchman to our nation. And, you know, like the seven mountains here, this the banner up there that shows the seven mountains, I see those as gates, that those are gates in our city and our nation, and we're to be gatekeepers. And we determine, because really ecclesia, part of what ecclesia is, when you read in the Old Testament and there were the men that hung out at the gates. Well, a lot of times prophets, that's where they put their prophecies, were at the gates of the city. Courts were held, judgment was held. There was a lot. There was also even buying and selling at the city gates. There's a lot to talk about the city gates. But the men of the city that were in that ecclesia or region, they would determine really, you know, because cities were walled. And there were certain gates, and determine by looking ahead or by certain sounds or whatever, the trumpet, the shofar, the blast, who's coming in and who's going out. And so part of our call is just that. It's not just to do church or to have some kind of a place for people to come. But it's really for some specific purpose, and I believe that's a big part of our calling. Does everybody understand? Does anybody have questions before I move on with that, about that? And any time as I'm kind of talking, just if you have a question, just go ahead and ask that. Within ecclesia, even though I talk about, because it really is a governmental word, and I talk more about government than anything else, it is and encompasses most everything that we've been doing and others have been doing under the heading of church. They did come together. There was teaching. There was praying. They were eating together. There's all of these facets are all part of ecclesia. It's not just the governmental aspect, although that encompasses, the governmental aspect encompasses it all. You're following me with that? Because the kingdom of heaven that's on earth, it's a kingdom, which means it has a king, and that's very governmental. And then within that kingdom, the realm of the kingdom, are all of these things. It's life, it's living life, it's everything that is involved in what we do on a daily basis, just in the kingdom, with kingdom mindset, with being submitted to the king of the kingdom. And so part of our calling, again, is really to be watchmen. And that's, I believe, a big part of what we do on Wednesday night is we're praying, we're
coming together and bringing what we're hearing. That's kind of what we did just a little bit even now. What are we hearing God say? What are we hearing God say now, today at this moment, at 11:10 on September 21st? What's he saying right now? And I don't know, and I've mentioned this before, I do not know a lot about the biblical feasts and the biblical time calendar and a lot of those kinds of things. Karen does, Cherie does more. I don't know. Some of you probably know a whole lot more than me. And so I admit my ignorance into that. But I'm wanting to know more. And, we've talked about on Wednesday a little bit about some of this new revelation that's just coming out with Jonathan Cahn, the one that with the Harbinger. And he's now released his book and teachings about the Shemitah. And then how many of you have seen or read it yet, the book, or seen any videos? You can put it on YouTube if and maybe you're more familiar with it than I, but there's so much there. And then Mark Biltz is the original guy. How many of you heard of Mark Biltz? He's the original one that really came up with the blood moon thing. And not came up with it, obviously God did, but I mean, discovered this whole kind of thing. And just about everybody that's written books, John Hagee included, have all used his stuff and his information. And I hadn't heard of him until I think I heard the name, but it never registered until I was talking with Kamal earlier this week or last, and he mentioned him. Because, if those of you remember Kamal, when he comes, he's talked about the blood moons and things before. But it's interesting, all of this kind of revelation that's coming out. And this Wednesday evening at sundown, we are entering into the Shemitah year. And I'm not going to take time this morning and describe everything that means. There's way too much to really talk about. But we've already had, there's four blood moons that are two this year and two next that are very unusual. And all four of those fall on a feast day. And we had one in April. The next one's this October 8th. We have another one next April. And then the following is in September, I believe. The 28th would be the last one. And those of you that can, I want to encourage you to come this Wednesday night. I think it's a very strategic time for us in our congregation and for what's actually happening. I don't think it's an accident that the end of the year is ending and a new year, especially a Shemitah year, is beginning. And really, it's beginning at about the exact same time, not in this hemisphere, but in their hemisphere, but at our time, that when we meet. I don't know what we're going to do, but I do believe that it's important and that it's very strategic. And we need to hear from God and release some things for this coming year on that. So there's a lot of things happening, a lot of things going on. I was reminded yesterday, I think it was, or the day before, and it just kind of flew through my brain like a little catalog, and I didn't remember everything. But a lot of the prophetic words that have been released here in our congregation, not just by me, but by everyone, those that have done that over the last 3 or 4 years, and I looked up a few of them. And it's very interesting what has been actually released and prophesied. And somehow, maybe we should try to put those together, because the Lord has been speaking to us as a congregation, not just the body of Christ, but as a congregation. And he's been releasing some things to us. And I think what happens a lot is just like we hear it, but it doesn't register. You know what I mean by that? And I think, too, that if you've been in prophetic circles, that you hear things and it's become so commonplace that you don't really take certain things to heart. I know that's been true with me. It's like, but the Lord has been speaking to us, and he's been speaking a lot to us about being ready. There's been some prophetic words about wind and the wind blowing. Candy gave another one today. Russ had one Wednesday. On our bulletin board out here, I don't know if anybody's read that. I walked over there and read some of that. Candy released one back in March about that. There's some other prophets that are doing it on the internet and different things. And the Lord is speaking. And we need to have ears to hear what he's saying and how to respond to what he's actually saying. So before I keep going, I just want to open it up for the little bit that I've said and of any thoughts or questions that might come to your mind concerning just the time that we're in, this strategic time. Yeah. Yes, Renee. Sorry. When I saw the hands, I was drinking water and I couldn't. Just a second. Can you grab the mic? And then we can get it recorded and then hear it up here.
I guess to keep it, is this on? Mm-hmm. Okay, to keep it short, is I just am sensing a convergence of many dispensations and things that have been released and poured out coming into a common time and season. And it's upon us. You know, when Rhonda gave that word out of Hosea, it struck me that the part was on, in 2 days he'll revive us, but on the third day he'll restore us. Well, that starts Rosh Hashanah on the third day. And so I was just thinking how, and that's Wednesday, and just how God, he established the feasts. They're his feasts. And that he has, over all these centuries and all these years, major world events have happened on his feast days. And he has established them for purposes and for reasons. And the sun and the moon is there to show the times and the seasons or the appointed times. And I think that there is, that now we're in such a time of great revelation that as we keep pushing into it, that we are going to truly see a glory of the Lord that's released in the world and the earth that has never been seen. And so I just want to encourage everyone that this is not the time to get distracted. This is not the time to let the superficial things of this life weigh you down. But this is the time to really press into the Lord and just to avail and allow him. We sang a song today that said that that darkness trembles at the sound of the Lord. Yeah. Everything that is in you, around you, in this earth. I mean, when Jesus rode on the waves and they were crashing or whatever, all he said is he just spoke and they trembled at his voice and they stilled. I'm telling you, that's how powerful the Lord is. And that's the power that he is planning to release in this time, in this season. It's that kind of power that steals the darkness. So I just want to encourage everyone you do want to be a part of this. You do.
Yeah, that's good.
We do. We want to be a part of this because this is the time that the whole creation has grown to see, and that's the true sons and daughters that are truly being revealed. Truly being revealed.
Amen. That's great. Good. Anybody else before? Yeah, Deborah.
I just wanted to share that, and I told my friend Monica here Wednesday night with the word of Russ, that Russ spoke, and he talked about the old ship and the crow's nest and watching the wind coming. When the wind of God comes, it's to empower us. And if we're not set, like he said, getting our sails ready and getting in the right position, even though it's the wind of God, it can overturn us if we are not ready. Mm-hmm. And if we are ready, it's going to carry us to great places. And like this morning when the word was coming forth with the breath of God, which is wind, when you breathe, it's wind. Uh-huh. That if you can enjoy the wind, but like shelter yourself from it, but still enjoy it. But if you open yourself up to the breath of God and let it come into you, it's going to carry you to great places. It has to enter into you, not just cover over you and give you goosebumps and make you feel good. That breath of God, you have to open up and let that come into you.
Yeah, that's good. Really good. Absolutely. Oh, shoot, Renee's going to come. Anybody else? Yeah, Rhonda.
Just real briefly, I was downstairs last week, but when I listened to what last week's message about attitude of, and I had never heard this before, so maybe you might help me, but, you know, and it was like
they're using the wind to power and empower us, you know, like an airplane does or a hang glider does or any of that. And I just thought that was a really beautiful picture of the Holy Spirit and how that,
yeah,
that empowers us.
Yeah, that's good. Really good. Excellent. Yeah, Karen.
This isn't a great revelation. This is just words of caution or wisdom.
What?
There's so much revelation coming out now, I believe, and some of it's of all different sorts. Some of it is information that's knowledge. Some of it's very scary. Some of it has to do with the Antichrist. Some of it has to do with climate or national changes. And so God may have different people seeing different things that may seem to conflict. And I think we talked about this last week and Wednesday night, that they can be the same thing of the same, different sides of the same coin. God can pour out the whirlwind upon his people, and it will carry them to where he wants them to be, like it did with Elijah when it carried him. Or it can be a whirlwind, like from the east, that destroys the crops, like he talks about. So, and we, different people see different things. And so I think we have to be open to the fact that someone may see something or hear something from God that seems contradictory or not nice or scary, but it still could be from God.
And absolutely.
That's all. I just wanted to say, let's be open to everything.
Absolutely. Good. Very good.
I'm sorry. The Lord showed me something this morning when I was studying that I thought was really good. It's from Proverbs, and it's chapter 21, verse 28. And he showed me prophetically. Here's the verse. It doesn't sound prophetic, but he showed me a prophetic thing in it. It says, a false witness shall perish, but the man that hears speaks constantly. And I thought, what in the world? So I studied it. Anyway, a false witness is someone who lies, and the father of lies is Satan, and the man, the Antichrist, the man of sin, is one who speaks great swelling words against the Most High. He's a liar, but he will be destroyed. And the Lord was showing me this verse has to do with now, because the Antichrist is rising up now. And then he showed me the second part of the verse is, it says, here's contra distinction. The man who hears speaks constantly. And I look those words up in the Hebrew, and what it means is the man who listens to the words of God, who listens to the Holy Spirit, and only speaks those things that he hears him saying. Where have we heard these words before? Only speaks those words that he hears him saying, will speak constantly. In other words, he will be called upon to witness as a true witness. He won't be like the false. He will be called upon to speak, and people will believe his words. He will be called upon into his words will last into eternity, because they're not his. They're the words of God.
Amen.
And so I thought, that's us. That's the true witness. Jesus Christ is the true witness. And we, when we hear from God and speak those things, we will be called upon to speak boldly, to speak openly, to be believed, and to have our witness be confirmed even into eternity. And it reminded me of Abel. His sacrifice was better than Cain's because he brought it by faith, and his actions are still speaking to us today.
Yep.
That's
Amen.
All.
Good. Very good. Excellent. Did you have something? I'm starting to know what people's little facial expressions that can kind of give me a clue that they may have something. I'm just starting to learn that.
You know, normally I really love my New American Standard, but not today. Genesis says, and God created man in his own image, in the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And I just lost my place. He created them, and God blessed them, and he said to them, be fruitful, go out, multiply. In the King James, there's something really important, and it brought back to what you said, and about what, when Jay was singing about breathing. Man was dust, man was death, until God breathed on him. and he breathed resurrection life. And I think when we talk about revival of the land, we're not just talking about starting something over again. God takes that breath and brings it from without and puts it within. And it is new, and it doesn't just restore, it creates life. And I think that that's what Jay literally was prophesying, is what I feel, what I'm hearing the Lord is talking about, is about not just about revival, it's about resurrection, is bringing life back.
Amen, amen.
It was Genesis 1:27 and 28.
Anybody else? Okay. Yeah, Jay.
Well, I don't say too much when it comes to Wednesdays or nothing, but I may sing a little bit here when God gives me something, but something that's been going continually for me, and it started like a week and a half or a couple of weeks. God just kept saying, and I said it, I think I said something to Pastor, and it's just something that's rang true in my life, because the enemy, especially the sons and the daughters, I may be on a little different level than some of you. If I kind of got to stay with the basics a lot of times, you know, wait a second, God created me and he loves me and I'm eternal. Sometimes I got to stay on some of that, but something that he's really been pressing me, and he won't let me get away without saying it this morning, is a couple of weeks ago, it just popped in my head, and it's Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, and he's speaking about all the people of faith in Hebrews there, it says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. But to me, it's just God has been speaking that to me, and I couldn't even get it out to my... As a matter of fact, when he told me that that day on the platform, I went downstairs, and it was wrote on the kids' board, and I thought, that's a mighty interesting thing, you know. It'd be, you know, they should have like Father Abraham had many sons, but it's on the kids' board down there. I thought, man, are you trying to say something, God? But, you know, so I've just been looking at my life lately and trying to, you know, these last days, if you don't cut the days short, even the very elect are going to be deceived. We have got bullseyes on all of us. And I think that, you know, for me anyway, I don't know if, I guess someone else needs to hear this today too, but unless we really keep our eyes focused, we can even get lost in doing good things.
Yes, that's right.
You know, we think we're doing things of God, and the enemy will take advantage of that just as much as he'll take advantage of things that he wants us to clean up and get out of our life. So it's just something that God's been impressing upon me. You know, so I don't know
Excellent.
If that's for
good.
Something else, somebody else too, but that's what I've just been hearing for two solid weeks. So I've had the mop out and the dustpan. And
that's awesome, Jay. No, that's really good. Yes.
Okay. I don't need a microphone. I wasn't going
to. Can we get it recorded? Is that okay?
I go to different churches, and I'm not here for me. I only speak when God says and comes over me. So I don't know what this is for, but I want to thank everybody for the prayers of my husband's mom. But when she was in the hospital, she was in a coma, and she was dead. There was no life in her. We had to make a choice of what was going to happen, and there was no response for a week. And what God showed me when I spoke at the funeral is exactly everything that you guys are all saying here at this church, the body of Christ. When I was sitting there and I kissed mom and told her I loved her. Her eyes came alive. And I knew there was something different in her. And I said, Mom, are you there? And she said, yes. God showed me then that he breathed life into her. I know the reason was so she can make the choice God gave her to tell her that she was ready to go home because she'd been to heaven. But what I'm saying here today is I understand the breath that sis was saying and all of you guys been saying, because what God is saying is we are his children and he is coming and we are ready. We as Christians need to set aside and be different of this world. Old things are passed away, but all things become new. But Amen. With this new revelation that God has shown me, when he created Adam and Eve, like what you were speaking, there was breath into mom. That was God's breath. She popped her eyes open, and she was a new creation to give us this word. So not only as Christians, we have to receive the breath of God's spirit deep inside us and not just be set aside as Christians, but we have to be filled in this time. Like yes, last night at Worlds of Fun, the zombies, they're dead and they're walking. We can't be a dead Christian. We got to be alive and let the world see something different inside of us. Amen. That is God's breath and his breath only. It's time to be different in today's world, in this generation. Glory. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Awesome. Good word. Good word. Excellent. Amen. Anybody else? Marie.
From the Amplified, and from the Amplified Bible, which we all probably go to often because it really does amplify, but it says in 1 John 4:17, for this union and communion with him, love is brought to completion and attains perfection with us, that we may have confidence for the day of judgment with assurance and boldness to face him, because as he is, so are we in this world. And that's what we're all saying. We all need to be ready. And we need to spend much time with him so that we can hear that still, small voice. We can read the word, which we should. It is anointed because it is given by the Holy Spirit. And we treasure that word, that we may know him and the power of his resurrection. We have died when we got saved with him, but we also were resurrected with him, and we are to be reigning with him in heavenly places. And that's why we have to be so careful in what we say and what we do, because people are watching us, even though we may not know about it or think about it. And so all that we're all saying is that we are to be like him, and therefore we can hate sin, but we have to love the sinner. And we don't want the devil to take them to hell, so we need to pray that they don't go to hell and believe for their salvation. And so we can't judge people, but only God is the judge. But we do know when they're not doing right, so that's our cue to pray for them. And so intercession is so important. Is to stand in the gap, as God told us to, because he's always looking for someone to pray them into the kingdom and to be that witness. And many a time we may pray for people just on the street that we see going by, and we know they're listening to the wrong music. We hear it. But we can break the power of Satan off of them and claim their salvation, deliverance, and ask the Lord to send the laborers of the harvest. And God hears that, and that's what his word says, and he will do it. So even though we may never see them again, God is working on the behalf of what we have prayed. So we are very essential in this world, and God wants to use each and every one of us to the ultimate, to be a blessing.
Amen. By the way, I meant to mention this earlier too. We had ordered some of those, the Mystery of the Shemitah, Jonathan Kahn's book, and we just had a handful of them, sold all of them Wednesday night. I was going to get some more But it's going to take 1 to 2 weeks. So I just encourage you, if you still want a book, to go to the bookstore or something like that to get them. But I did order a handful of books by Mark Biltz, The Blood Moons, too. I really believe these two books just go together. You know, I think God orchestrated that they really go together. We also ordered some Blood Moon calendars that go along with it. So we should have it sometime this week. If just to be thinking, if you're wanting one, we'll sell them for as much as possible. But I'm just kidding. But anyway, I'm just letting you know that we do have a few of those resources, because I think it's very, very important that that we understand the times and seasons, as we are praying Wednesday too, and what is actually going on. I was in the middle of writing the book on Ecclesia. The Lord was beginning to reveal, and I only have such a small portion of it. I don't have it all. And I was hoping to before I finished the book, because I wanted to put it in there. And I know I mentioned it to Renee, and I mentioned it to Shri and to Kieran because of their knowledge, that the Lord began speaking to me about the Ecclesia and the feast days. And but I don't have enough to even write a chapter on it, so I didn't. But this is what I know for certain, and it's not a surprise probably to anybody. Because the feast days and there's appointed times. See, God has specific appointed times for specific things. He's not willy-nilly and he just doesn't wake up and say, hey, Thursday, I'll do this. There's specific things. And one of the things he had shown me about that is with the Ecclesia, there are specific appointed times to release things, to prophesy things. And I'm just beginning to try to understand that and the importance of it, because I think sometimes that, you know, those of you that are prophetic, when you see it in the spirit, it is so real to you, right? You know it, it's real to you, and you want everybody to see it and understand it like you just saw it and understand it. And when you release it, people go, oh, well, that was nice. You know what I'm saying? They're not as passionate about it sometimes. And I'm not saying that this is the case every time. Because, you know, when Jesus walked the earth, there wasn't, relatively speaking, there wasn't very many people that knew he was Jesus. Nor were they excited about it. I mean, just think about this. The last week of his life, he comes into Jerusalem, the holy city, on a white donkey. People are singing Hosanna, and the priests are in the temple praying for the Messiah to come. And he's there. And there he missed it. Except they killed him. And there's a lot being spoken about the days of Noah and this time. And I think there's a lot to that and a lot to reveal to that. But I think the biggest portion of that is, just like in the days of Noah, they're going to be eating and drinking and giving in marriage and going about business as usual, just as they did when Jesus was there, and they're going to miss what's actually happening and miss the appointed time. And the Lord has been preparing us and speaking to us. He's been talking preparation for quite a few years to us now as a congregation and preparing. He's been teaching us more and more how to recognize his voice, how to hear his voice. He's talking to us more and more about kingdom and what that looks like and aligning our whole lives in the kingdom. And it's all been for preparation for what's coming on the earth. It is. And so going back to the Ecclesia and prophesying things, I believe the Lord is, and maybe I'm talking out loud right now. Maybe he's going to show us some things and speak to us. And I say some of us, maybe some of you that are really prophetic, but there's not a time to release it yet. That there needs to be, when the Lord shows us things, because I'm just going to tell you how I am. When the Lord shows me things, I'm so excited, I want to tell everybody. I see a lot of you going like, I'm like that. And I think most of us probably are. But I think the Lord is, you know, and you just take it however you want. I think he's doing this with me too, that he's maturing me a little bit and growing me in this, that when he shows me things, to wait for the timing to release it for the most impact. Because he's aligning things all over, you know. Renee and I kind of talked just briefly about this. It's just like the Blood Moon book by Mark Biltz and the Mystery of the Shemitah. It's like, you know what? That just to me seems like a very strategic timing that I don't think man put together, even to release some of that revelation. And as revelation is coming forward in strategic timings to release some of these things, because there's an appointed time. I'm really sensing that this Wednesday is an appointed time for us. I just do. I really have no idea what we're going to do. I don't yet. But I really believe it's strategic. It's an appointed time for whatever something that God wants to do. And we need to be prepared for this upcoming year. And when I say prepared, I'm not talking just natural stuff. I'm talking spiritual. If you're not in love with the Lord, fall in love with him all over again. That's the best way you can be prepared for anything, is by your intimate love relationship with the Lord. It's not necessarily stocking food or water, and if that's what the Lord's saying, do that. Or investing in gold or getting guns and ammunition. I mean, the best way to be prepared is being fully invested, which means fully engaged in the kingdom and kingdom life. Because in that, in the kingdom on earth, there's where your safety is. There's where the protection is. What can man do to us? See. Now, I don't know how much, I feel like I just need to say a few things about this because I'm just going to. And I don't know how informed you are about some of these things, specifically with ISIS. Does everybody even know what ISIS is? The Islamic State in Iraq and Syria. Well, they have another name that's called ISIL, ISIL, which is probably a little better definition of really who they are. And that is the Islamic State in Iraq and the Levant, which includes all of Israel, Jordan, that whole Middle Eastern Mediterranean area. And I think we all understand that's their purpose. They really want world domination. They want to take over every nation. You know, they're killing any journalists that are there. They're getting them. They're killing. We've already seen what, 3 now beheaded. I got a report from Frank Gaffney. Does anybody know who Frank Gaffney is? Okay, a few. Frank Gaffney used to be in a pretty high level place. He's a Christian in government. And he has the Center for Security something. And he puts out emails, and you might want to, I actually met him in person because Kamal met him, and we were in a meeting together. I was with Kamal, and he was there at a table, and I got to meet him. And he's a fascinating man, but he's very, very in the know, especially when it comes to governmental things. And he released some things because he was speaking with some congressmen. And, you know, the latest statistic is that they are killing 100 Christians every day. And that's kind of estimates of what they're thinking is really going on. It could be quite a bit more. There's really a Christian genocide going on as we're speaking right now. Yeah, in Iraq. And they are also, ISIS, I don't think Frank Gaffney actually said this. I sometimes I get different things and I forget exactly who said what. But they're in every major country, and there's thought that there's actually cells in every country of the nation of the world now. We do know that they have bases on the border of Mexico, and they're also in our nation. We do know that, right? ISIS is in our nation, and I talked about this probably 2 years ago. That I mean, I didn't know who ISIS was then. But in Europe, you know, there has been, you know, in France and England and some other European nations, there has been a great, great influx of Muslim takeover in many areas of the nation. And they have, has anybody heard of no-go zones? I know we've talked about it some. Well, a no-go zone is really basically a Muslim community where they, it's cordoned off. They don't, there's no cops in there. They have their own cities, and they direct their whole little, they have a nation within a nation, and it, and they exercise their Sharia law. Well, I don't know presently, but back then I started doing some research in our own nation, and there was a half a dozen of the beginnings of these in our nation, at least a couple years ago. So there's probably quite a bit more of what is actually happening. And most people have no idea, because nobody's really talking about some of these things. And maybe you think I'm a fanatic on it or not. But again, as I started off, part of our calling is to be a watchman. And the things that, that I hear and I know that are true, and I want to encourage you to do the same thing, is to speak those things out. Be judicial about it. Be loving about it. Not to try to hammer it down people's throat, because some people just aren't going to listen. But so anyway, there's, you know, the infiltration, are, as you know, the borders are wide open. It's just a porous sieve. We have people, our government doesn't really know who's coming in our nation. There's all kinds of things that are happening and going on. I mean, it's, we have that going on. We have the Middle East thing going on. We have the Israel thing going on with the Palestinians. We've got Russia, Ukraine thing going on. And we got the Ebola thing. I mean, you just look nationally how many different things going on. And here we are ending a year and entering a Shemitah year with four blood moons on all feast days, biblical feast days. Yeah, Tom. Yeah. A lot of people come back with Ebola, and people are coming through our borders with respiratory things and so forth, but they believe that he's exactly tied to it. The reporter was kind of poo-pooing and saying, oh, well, you know, they're just overreacting. But the rabbis say, no, he's the man. He is the man that we believe is going to bring this, you know, look for Gog and Magog. Because they said he is the man.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to kind of wrap this up a little bit here because our time's getting away from us. But it's not a time to be afraid or to hide. It's a time to be a warrior. I do believe that there's a shift, spiritually speaking, that God wants to shift ruling our nation to the body of Christ, regardless of who figureheads are there and what they're saying or what they're doing, because we can trump all of that. Now, there's doors and gates that have been open, and we're going to face some consequences of some things. They're in motion, and I don't think there's anything we're going to be able to do about certain things. They're going to happen. But now think of this. Everything God does, because the Bible says God's love and he is love. Everything he does and everything he allows is because of love. He's a merciful God, and righteousness and justice are the foundations of his throne. And that is what, so everything, even when we go through trials and hard times, I'm not saying God causes those things. Sometimes he does, but certain things we go through, they're caused by our own action. They're caused because there's just a curse in the world and things happen. But through all of those things, God turns all of it for our good if we'll hear him and we'll just follow him. And he can get a major impact and the most mileage out of everything that we go through. So every trial that we're facing, and this is nothing, we've talked about this for the last few years. Don't waste your trials. You know, if you're going through money issues, learn what it's about in the kingdom and turn your finances to kingdom. Learn how God has talked about finances, what to do with finances, and start doing that. You got an issue with your job, with a relationship, whatever your marriage, whatever you're going through, turn it back to kingdom. Repent just means to turn. Turn it into kingdom. Everything. Part of our trials is just for that, to wake up to what we've been doing to start doing this, which is kingdom and coming into the kingdom. Does that make sense? With every area. So anyway, we've got all of this going on in our nation. Some things are already been released, but it's not a time to fear. It's a time to rise up. It really is. Just think of this. All of the things God has brought you through and you've been through was for now. You could have been born at any other time in history. Any other time, but you were born now. So you are God's man or woman for this hour. That's not just a decree I just now decreed. That's a decree God decreed. You are it. And the Lord spoke this to me. He has given some of you talents. And I'm not just talking about natural talents. I'm talking about the parable Jesus spoke. He gave you some things. Don't hide it. Invest it in the kingdom. Invest that into the kingdom. Glory. Okay, one last thing, if that's okay. With all of the different turmoil and things going on, you know what? You know what's kind of interesting is so many other people and other Christians have been facing such horrible things. We're just so isolated here in this country. We're just so blessed because of that. And so it's hard for us to wrap our minds around it. It's a screen that we look at in our living room that it's going on somewhere else. And I've prayed off and on for about 15 years. Mostly off than on, for persecution. Because persecution, when real persecution, I'm talking about real, I'm not just talking about somebody doesn't like you at work. I'm talking about real persecution. That really separate, that's when we really find out what really is in us, what we believe, who we really are. When you look through history, when real persecution, that's when the body of Christ grew exponentially, when the power of God was released in such a mighty way. Yeah. Amen. That's awesome. And that's kind of what I'm seeing that we're entering into. It's that. Because I believe that there's going to be just a harvest like the world has never seen. I mean, the Bible tells us about it. Now, whether it's going to be, you know, very, very soon in the next year or two, or whether it's going to be 20 years, it is coming. It is coming. There's going to be an awesome, huge harvest. And at the same time, there's going to be, I believe, an apostasy. It's going to be an interesting, fascinating, wild ride. And I want to be in the car. You know what I mean? I want to be in the car. You know when, how many of you like roller coasters? I haven't ridden a roller coaster in years, and I used to really like them. Renee and I loved them. And I liked getting in the back, too. You know, there's a ride in the back, and then there's a ride in the front. But I think the front is what I mean, it seemed like maybe it might be a little slower or something in the front, but I like that wind in the face. I like being on the edge. Does anybody else? I like just that right there, right in the front. I want to be there. How about you? God, thank you, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to be born now. To be in your family, to be in your kingdom. Glory be to God. Any one of you not feeling good, I just speak to your body now in Jesus' name. You be whole, be healthy. Matter of fact, take that trial that you're facing in your body, whatever sickness, whatever is ailment, use that to train yourself. You know, sometimes what we do, we'll just go to the medicine cabinet and get relief and go on. Remember I told you last week about my heart kind of skipping and it just started again. And it's like, now what I didn't tell you is 15 years ago, I was diagnosed with atrial fibrillation by a cardiologist because it happened twice and it was really bad. I had 180 beats a minute and I went to the hospital two different times and they injected me with stuff. And one time they were going to life flight me because they couldn't get my heart down and that kind of thing. And so I went to a cardiologist and I had a heart arrhythmia. And the cardiologist gave me these pills and said, and I was only 30-something at the time. Was it 15 years ago? Yeah, something like that, 30-something at the time. And, you know, he said, you're going to have, I said, so how long do I take these? He said, the rest of your life. And I'm thinking, no, dear, I don't want to do that. And so you got to hear from God when it comes to all of this stuff, but I never took a one. I didn't take one, and I'm not saying that's, it was just for me. And I did some things, and I never had that issue again. And so here, 2 weeks ago, I got the heart palpitation and arrhythmia, and just kind of, it wasn't that high, thank God, because that's horrible when it's that high. And it's like, okay, here to me, here's a trial. Something's attacking my body. There's an answer. God's it. God wants to tell me what it is. So it's a way I can practice even now. Okay, something's coming against me. God, what are you saying so I can address this thing? Whatever it might be. The only thing I heard, and I didn't hear his voice, I just heard just an impression. It's something you're eating or taking. And I'm like, ooh, I haven't changed my diet because I like everything. I mean, I eat all kinds of stuff. But through that, see, God loves taking you on a journey. Sometimes there's a journey of discovery. And I'm not just talking about health. I'm talking everything in our life. There's a journey of discovery. You know why? Because he loves the relationship is the most important thing. We just want a quick answer so we can move on with our life. Me too. I like that. But he likes the journey and the discovery. And in the process, he's teaching us how to hear his voice, how to be led by him. So I'm hearing that. I'm going in my mind. I'm thinking about stuff. I mentioned it to Renee. And I just started taking some of these magnesium pills that I just bought at Nature's Pantry because the Lord had spoken to me to start taking magnesium several years ago when I had kidney stones. And to deal, that was one way to help deal with that. And Renee goes, well, what's in that? And I said, oh, I don't know, magnesium. And there was a handful of other stuff. I don't know what they are. She goes, let me look at it. I forgot to tell this part last week. She starts reading it and she goes, she read something in there. And she said, what is that? I don't even know what that is. And if Renee doesn't know what it is, I'm in trouble. When it comes to food or diet or all of that, those kind of ingredients, she goes, I don't take that, and I don't know what that is. So I looked it up, and on the internet it said, one website I found it, one of them said it could actually, that particular thing, and it's probably rare. I mean, Debbie could probably take it and not affect her, or Brenda not affect her, but it affected me. It can lower your heart rate to too low, or it can raise it. I'm taking these back to Nature Pantry. I quit taking them, and I haven't had the problem since. See, that's really just about as easy as God wants to reveal things to us if we'll just listen. If we'll just take the trial that comes and saying, God, what is it? Do you want me to go to the doctor? You want me to get the operation? You want me to speak to it, change my diet, change something I'm eating, drinking, whatever, or a combination? Because God's got the answer for whatever it is. Praise God. I really am done. He's even got an answer for that. Glory. Would you all stand, please? Did you have something? Yeah, go ahead.
I would like to teach a feast class, and I have a lot of materials. If anyone is interested, could you see me after church and we can talk about when we can get together? And anyway, that's it.
And then also, I didn't do any announcements today, but next week we're starting our class back up, the discipleship type of, we call it the second down class. Brenda's going to be teaching that at 9 o'clock in the morning. It goes for 45 minutes from 9 to 9:45, and then we'll have service at 10. Really highly encourage you to sit under that teaching gift that she has and get some more of the word on the inside of you for that. Next week, we got a full Sunday next week because not only is the class, but we're also going to have somebody here. Cherie's going to share a little bit about our neighborhood network, and we have somebody coming from the neighborhood network that's going to share a testimony with us for that. And then Sunday night at 6 p.m. right here is our next unity gathering too with some other congregations. Amen. So we got a nice full house for next Sunday. Bless the Lord. I just bless you. I'm so honored to be your friend and to be here and to be teamed up with you as children, as sons, as daughters, as brothers, as sisters, with such an awesome daddy. Yes. And may you just be blessed today. May you breathe in the breath of God. May it just be all over you. And may you breathe the breath of God out in every place and every region that you go, in Jesus' mighty name. Have an awesome day, awesome week. Amen. Oh, I'm sorry.